Revelation chapter 20. Our text will be found in verse 11 through verse 15. The apostle said, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And the dead and death and hail were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, the title of the message this morning is Five Truths Concerning Judgment. Five Truths Concerning Judgment. And as all our previous study of the book of Revelation, we have now come to the end. Remember that there are seven visions in this book of Revelation. Each one makes a complete circle, makes a complete declaration of the gospel from the time of Christ's first incarnation. It comes around all the way through the dispensation of grace in which we live now until His second coming. And now we have come to that. God in grace, during this dispensation of grace, calls sinners, draws them to Christ, and then He comes. He comes in judgment, in final judgment, in which all the elect saints, believers in Christ, shall be gathered into eternal glory and rest with Christ forever, and the wicked shall be cast into hell forever, and suffer the judgments of wrath and wrath of God for eternity. Today in our text, we will focus on the latter of these, which is the final judgment. The Lord brings into view the final judgment. Like when this is brought up, many questions fill our minds concerning this judgment. Like, when will this take place? When will this take place? Who will be judged? Will there be more than one judgment? Will God judge the wicked and then judge His saints based on different works or different things? Will there be one standard or two standards by which men are judged? That's how our court systems are, aren't they? They're judged by different standards. Well, you're a female. You should be judged differently than somebody else. We know this is not justice. That justice doesn't look at anything but the law. Just. Now, if men would stop looking at the opinions of men and just rather focus on Scripture, many of these questions could be very simply answered. Probably not to the satisfaction of their minds, but they could be easily answered. Easily answered. The Word of God is not vague concerning judgment. Now, we don't know the full experience of this because we haven't experienced it yet. These things are yet future. But yet there are certain things that are very, very clearly stated in our passage, plainly revealed to us about this last day. In that day, the Lord Jesus Christ will appear. He will come in great power and with great authority, and He will judge all men. His throne is said to be here a great throne, a great throne. This speaks when Christ comes, He is coming in great power and authority. This is a picture of his authority, his dominion. When this king who sits on this throne comes, he will not be limited as our governments are. We don't execute judgments in other places because we have no authority. Yet when he comes, he will execute authority and judgment over all his creation, over all men. His throne will be pure. That's why it's a great white throne, is because it speaks of its holiness, of its purity in judgment. When Christ comes to judge, he will judge in a strictly holy and just manner. It will be a holy judgment. And his throne, he is seen to be king, absolute and sovereign. In other words, when he comes, his judgment will be final. Final. In this day, none shall be able to escape or elude his judgment. None will be exempt or be able to delay his judgment when it comes. The scripture says that all men, he said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. All the sea gave up the dead. Death and hell gave up the dead. Everybody's going to be there. Not one is going to be exempt. You will not miss this day. You will not miss it. Every one of us will be there. The scriptures are clear. Heaven and earth are fled away. Where will you hide? That's what it means when he's showing you a picture that when heaven and earth flies away, and only thing is standing is the throne of God. And where then will the souls of men or the bodies of men hide? You won't be able to hide anymore. Won't be able to hide. But I saw the dead, small and great. In Matthew 25, and we'll go there a little bit later, but Matthew chapter 25, our Lord speaks of this day. He said, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and the holy angels with Him, He shall sit on the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. All nations. Does this not clearly show us who will be judged? Didn't that answer that question? Who will be judged? Who will stand before? Will you stand before God's judgment throne? You bet you will. Every one of us will. Not one exemption. Every one of us will stand and be judged at this bar. And I'll tell you this, when He gathers all nations, our Lord says He separates them, goats and sheep. So this, believer, is true of us. We will stand before that day just as much as the wicked. We will all stand before Him in strict, holy judgment. Pure is His throne. Holy is His throne. Sovereign is His throne. Great is His throne. And we'll all be there. However, we must see that there will, that both will appear before this great white throne. All will be judged, but there will be two distinct outcomes. The righteous shall enter into eternal glory, and the wicked shall enter into eternal damnation. That's the two outcomes of this judgment. The righteous shall enter into glory, and the wicked shall be sent into everlasting darkness and hell forever. Both will appear. The verdict will be just. And you listen to this. It will be final. When Christ judges all men in this day, there will be no parole. There will be no appeal. Why? Because His judgment's right. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what? Right. And if it's right, why would He correct it? There's no correction. There is no such thing as purgatory. That would define his judgment as being unjust. Imperfect. Well, I know I sent you to hell, but I'm changing my mind now. You've done enough and you come on up. No. No, his judgment's final. Because his judgment's pure. The apostle says this in Romans 2. He said, "Thinkest thou, O man, that judgest others and doest the same things? Shalt thou escape the judgment of God?" Let me ask you, you done any judging lately? You made any judgments? I tell you, you should make some judgments. You should. You shouldn't go into things blindly. You make judgments every day. Should not God make judgments? Being your judge? Think that you will escape somehow the judgment of God? No, you won't. "Or despisest thou the riches and goodness of his forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impotent of heart treasures up for thyself wrath under wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render every man according to his deeds. To them that are patient, to by patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality in life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But honor and glory and peace to every man that worketh good, both to the Jew first and also to the Gentile." You listen. "For God is no respecter of persons." You got that? God does not take into account your person. Isn't that what we do, how we judge? We take into account relationships. We take into account things that you know, if I was judging my son, obviously I'd be more lenient because he's my son. I would defy justice in order to have mercy on my son. God cannot do that. He cannot show mercy at the expense of his judgment, of his justice. Cannot do it. He will not do it. Here in this world, the saints are misjudged. That's just true. The saints are misjudged. We are judged as fools. In this world, you're judged as a fool. To do what we're doing here is foolish. That's the world standard. The preaching of the gospel is to them that perish foolishness. The enemies of God, the false prophets of this world, preach the tell that salvation by grace is foolishness. They oppose us who preach salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone. But when Christ comes, when he judges, he'll make all things right. He'll settle every score. That's what judges do. When you are offended and you go to the judge, you expect the judge to make it right. This is exactly what Christ will do in this day. He will make all things right. He will set all things right in this day. And so then, believer, let us, as the Scripture exhorts us to do, rejoice and look forward to the judgment of Christ. This should be our attitude as believers in Christ. If we are made righteous by the righteousness of Christ and God is going to receive us as Christ and righteous as Christ, we should look forward to that day. Not with fear, but with reverence and love, seeing that we shall receive what we deserve, even what Christ earned in our stead. This day should be a day of joy for the believer. For the believer. We should look forward to it with great anticipation. Go over to 2 Peter Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 10. He's speaking about the coming, this coming day, this great white throne judgment that is to come. And he says this, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works thereof that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for," there it is, "looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements melt with fervent heat." What kind of people should we be? We should be people looking. We should be people hastening toward that day. "Seeing he will come, let us then who are washed in the blood of Christ, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, look forward to that day and live every day with this fact in view." He will come. He will come. And all this world, its objects, its systems, its governments, its relationships, its treasures will at once be dissolved and destroyed. You know, this thing, it comes as a thief in the night to the lost. See, it's not going to come as a thief in the night to us because it doesn't rob us of anything. When Christ comes, He's not come to rob us. He's come to give us what He earned in our stead. But to the lost, this day is going to come as a thief. It's going to rob them of everything they love, this world, the pleasures, the lust, the passions, the things of the world. It's going to burn before their eyes, and they're going to be, they'll weep like those merchants. Remember in the previous chapter of Revelation, those merchants wept when the whore was destroyed. Not us. Not if we look for His coming. And stop looking to the things of the world. Stop holding on to them. Hold on to Him. Look for His coming. Look for His coming. Let us then, what type of people should we be then, seeing that all of these things will be dissolved? We should be people looking for the coming of Christ, hastening for it, the day of His return. But I tell you, you without Christ, you should fear. You have no cause to rejoice because you have no righteousness. And I do pray that God would use this even now to move you to Christ. Move with fear and trembling and fall before His feet pleading for mercy. Only in Jesus Christ can you be cleansed and made righteous so as to look for this coming with joy. Now then, let me get down to the meat of the message here. This is the introduction. Now let me just give you these five things that we know about judgment. Now there's a lot of things I don't know. I just tell you, I don't know much. But let us grab a hold of by faith the things we do know. The things that we do know. There are five things that I want us to see. Five lessons. And the first one is this. Christ is coming. That we know that. This we know. Jesus is coming. Don't be taken in by those teachers who fill the shelves of most bookstores as professing believers and try to determine when Christ is coming. Pay no attention to them. Give them not one ounce of your thought or energy toward those who try to suppose to know when Christ is coming. These fools. You know why there's so many of these books? Because when they don't get it right, they've got to rewrite it. That's why there's so many. When their prophecies don't come true, they say, oh, see, this is what's happening over here, and look what's happening over here. Surely he's coming at this time. And then when he doesn't come, what do they got to do? Well, I made a mistake. You know, we got to look at some other things over here and over here. They'll write another book. Pay no attention to them. You know what God calls them? False prophets. False prophets. Isn't that what he said in Deuteronomy? He said, if a man presumes to speak in my name and it doesn't come to pass, guess what he is? He's a liar. He's a liar. False prophets. I don't care if they claim to be Calvinists. That man did exactly what a false prophet would do. He predicted something that didn't come to pass, and God said he's a liar. Leave him alone. And you should leave him. Leave him alone. In fact, believer, we are never told to look for signs of His coming. You know that? In Scripture, we're never told to look for signs. Jesus said this, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh what? A sign. But no sign shall be given them except what? Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. And what sign do we have of His coming? He rose again from the dead. That's what sign we had. He rose again. Who said, I am coming again. I am coming again. Jesus promised to come. Fulfill the prophets, which He did. And the only sign we need this is His resurrection. The sign of Jesus Christ that He died according to the Scriptures. He rose again according to what? The Scriptures. We know then that He is the Christ, and there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. None other name. None other name given. There is no other God. There is no other Savior but Christ the Lord. What sign? As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. And He was. What other sign do you need? You don't need any other sign. You don't need one. And what was His word to His disciples while He was here? What was the word of Christ by which He comforted His disciples concerning their coming sin? They were about to sin. They were about to deny Him. Peter was going to deny Him. The disciples were going to flee from Him. And He knew they were going to be in trouble. He knew they were going to be heartbroken by what they did. He knew their sin was going to overwhelm them. And what did He give for comfort? He said, let not your heart be troubled. Have you sinned lately? Have you forsaken your Master? And you know what He says to you? Don't let it trouble you. Don't be troubled. Why? I go to prepare a place for you. My Father's house are many dwelling places. If we're not so, I'd have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go, that word if is better translated, when I go, and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Is there any vagueness in the desire of Christ here? Is there any vagueness as to what He wants to do? That's what He's purposed to do. He said, I will come. I just as sure as I leave this tomb and head to glory, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Why, that where I am, you may be also. Don't let your heart be troubled. This is what the disciples received. And remember, after He was received up into heaven, they also received the promise of that angel. The angel said, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus you had taken from you shall return in like manner. He's going to come again the same way you've seen Him go, in glory. The Lord Jesus Christ will come again. He's gone to the cross. He suffered the just for the unjust, that He should bring us to God by His death. It was not vain. His death has accomplished our redemption. His death and righteousness has reconciled us to God. And if He that endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down on the throne of God, be not weary and faint in your minds. Don't be weary concerning your troubles. Don't be faint in your mind concerning your troubles. Why? He's coming again. He's coming. Look for Him, Paul said. Wait by faith, knowing that we are strangers and pilgrims in this land. And soon Jesus will come and gather us to Himself. I like this passage. It says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds, to meet Him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord, the end. That's it. When He comes, that's it. Should you not look forward then to His coming? That's it. I'm going to bring you to myself, just like I promised. Wherefore, comfort you with one another with these words, is what Paul said. Our Lord, He first came in weakness and humility, born of a virgin's womb in poverty and humiliation, but He's not coming that way again. He's not coming that way again. But now, having obtained our redemption, He will come the second time as the omnipotent God in strength, and in the riches and splendor of His glory and person shall be seen by everyone. Secondly, this, His coming will be swift and sudden. When He comes, it will be unexpected. It will be unexpected. The world will not know it. But to us, it should not be unexpected. We should be expecting it. We should be expecting His coming. Our Lord Jesus Christ said this about those false men who tell us to go, that Christ is coming back at this such and such a time. He said this, men will say to you, lo, here is Christ, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and show you great signs and wonders, insomuch as if it were possible they should deceive the very elect. You see, believer, as we're looking and knowing Christ is coming, we're not to be looking at wonders of people. This guy comes to you and he's able to perform miracles. This guy, he can heal the sick. He could even raise the dead. And then he tells you, hey, Christ is coming over here. Don't believe him. Don't believe him. These signs and wonders are only going to get greater and greater as the time approaches. And Jesus said, if it were possible. Thank God it's not possible to deceive the very elect. It's not possible because we know whom we have believed, right? We're not going to be deceived because we're looking for a certain one. And when a man speaks of someone that isn't Christ, we know. It's not possible because we know whom we have believed. And we're looking for Him. He says, for as the lightning cometh from the east, out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. When he comes, everybody's going to know it. You don't have to guess. No secret raptures here. No multiple raptures here. When he comes, everyone's going to know he's here. And Jesus said this, when I come, it's going to be like this. As in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. What were they doing? They were expecting tomorrow. You don't get married unless you're expecting tomorrow. Everything's going to continue the same way it's always been when he comes. He said, even so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And he says this in verse 44, that same passage there. He said, be ready. You who are looking, we should be ready. Are you ready? Are you ready for his coming today? Are you ready for him to come in swift judgment today? Are you looking forward to him coming today? You should be, if you're a believer, you should be. You should be expecting it, waiting for it, anticipating. Be ready. Behold, he cometh, the Scripture says. Let us who then believe on him rest in our salvation in Christ. Rejoice and look for him. Let us expect him to come, even because he promised. I know people say, well, it's been 2,000 years since he went away, and everything's the same as it was. You listen, it's not the same as it was. Why, I'm not the same as I was, and neither are you. It's not the same as it was because the law has been done away with. I tell you, he is coming. And what are we to be doing in this time that he's before he comes? Exactly what we're doing now. Preaching the gospel, declaring the gospel. Because he has yet a people that must come. That must come and look for him. He said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I also what? Must bring. Let us then be about our Father's business, not looking for signs and wonders, wars and tribulations, but rather preaching the gospel and looking for Christ to come and receive us unto himself. Secondly, this, we know this, the dead shall be raised. The dead shall be raised. This will not be secret. As his coming shall appear from heaven, so will the resurrection of the just and the unjust be visible to all. When Jesus Christ comes in his glory to judge all men, he will raise them from the dead and judge them. They will all stand before his holy bar. Look at your text here. He said, I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. You see, God is going to raise all men to stand before him in judgment. Now, this is the order of it. We have an order the Scripture gives us. The dead in Christ shall rise first. There's an order in this thing. Those who have died in faith, gone before us, they're going to be raised first. Now, don't you think this is going to be kind of an awakening for everybody when they rise from the dead? It will. It's not going to be secret. They're bodies, physical bodies that have been ground for Abel. He's going to rise from the dead, and everyone from him forward are going to rise. They're going to come. All the believers in Christ shall be raised from the dead. When he comes, their souls and their bodies then will unite together. Now the souls, we know where they're at right now. They're in glory with Christ. That's what John says in the first part of this book. First part of this chapter, he says, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. Where were they? They were in heaven. But one day their bodies will rise and join with their souls, and they will stand before God. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Then there will be the resurrection of the unjust. There will be those who were in the graves who did not believe. Their bodies shall be raised from the dead. Their souls, which are now in hell, shall be joined together with their bodies. And those who are remaining in the earth shall be caught up as well before this judgment, but they're not going to be translated like we are. We will receive a body like unto Christ's body, a righteous body, a holy body, righteous soul, but they're going to go as they are, unrighteous. There's going to be a great resurrection, and when He calls them to judgment, there is no place for them to go. There's no place to hide. There will be no refusals. No refusals. And then we come to this, the third one, Christ will judge them. We know that. We know He's coming in judgment. We know He's coming to receive His righteous and to damn the wicked. We're all going to be raised from the dead. We're going to stand before Him, and then He will judge. He will judge. The Scripture says, and the books were opened. And another book which was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. The sea gave up their dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up their dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. You got that, because everybody's going to be judged according to their works. The promise of God is that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, what? The judgment. The judgment. The judge is Christ, the Son of God, to whom God has committed all judgment. The same one by nature we all have defied and rejected. And when He comes to judge, it will be strict, it will be just, and it will be final. Now the language here is very important. He said the books were open. Now God doesn't need a book. You don't need a book to remember. But this is to show us the exactness of His ledger, of His memory, of His mind concerning sin, concerning judgment. This should strike terror in the hearts of every wicked man that every sin, thought, and imagination that you have done is recorded. Every work of evil deserves hell. But how many works of evil have you done? How vainly men think obedience is just something outward. And forget that the Scriptures tell us that the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You can put on a show on the outside. God doesn't just judge that. He judges also your thoughts and motives. How many Scripture can I give for this? Very first one's obviously in Genesis 6, when He said the Lord saw that the thoughts of the imagination of the hearts of men were evil only continually. Continually. In Matthew's Gospel 15 and verse 19 and 20, He said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. You remember David, convicted of his own sin, he said, Lord, if Thou shouldest mark iniquity, who should stand? You pay attention to your text. God does mark iniquity. Every iniquity. But what was David's comfort? But there is forgiveness with Thee. There is forgiveness, that Thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His Word do I hope. So God will come and He will judge. He will judge righteously. He will judge according to the sins of men, their works. And the only hope for any man is Christ, the Word of God. Now, fourthly, this we know. The righteous shall inherit heaven. The righteous shall inherit heaven. The elect of God, the redeemed of Christ, shall receive their full inheritance. And all the elect of the Father will be judged in the same strict manner and strict holiness as all other men. How then shall we who know we are sinners? Because the elect know this. We know we are sinners. How then shall we receive heaven? Justly receive heaven. You listen. Here's the only reason you will receive heaven. Because Christ bore your sins in His own body on the tree. Here it is. Your sins are not going unjudged. I told you God cannot show mercy at the expense of His justice. So what God has done for His people is He has taken our sins, our guilt, and imputed that to Christ, His holy Son, and upon the tree He actually suffered all the hell we deserved. Judgment was rendered for our sins on Christ. So we did not escape judgment for our sins. But the only hope is that Christ bore our sins in His own body on the tree, seeing He was made sin for us, and God justly punished our substitute in our stead, seeing His blood has then blotted out our transgressions, as God says, a thick cloud. A thick cloud. He blotted them out. You see the books? It's a picture. Our sins written down, yet the blood has blotted them out. They can't be seen. When the books are open, you know what's going to be written next to our name? Nothing. Nothing. There will be no negative demerit against us. Why? Because Christ took it away and nailed it to the cross, having made peace with God by His blood. But not only this, not only will it be blank, it will be full of righteousness. Remember, it's judged according to their works. Now, if there were nothing there, then what merit do we have to receive heaven? We would have no merit. We would have only done exactly what we were required to do. But rather than that, in these books are written every positive work of righteousness that Christ has done. So when the books are open and your name is read, guess what He's going to read? Righteous! 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 You're righteous. He took away your sin and put down the righteous works of Christ as your own. With His holy garment on, I am as spotless as the Holy One. The elect, the sheep of God. Remember, let's see this in this vivid picture. Go to Matthew chapter 25. I got one more point after this, but Matthew chapter 25. See the picture how the Lord lays it out for us. Matthew chapter 25, He told us in verse 31 that He's going to come and sit on His throne. And before Him, verse 32, all nations will be gathered. And what is He going to do? He's going to separate everyone into two groups. He's going to separate His sheep from the goats. His sheep from the goats. And you listen what He says. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, His sheep, come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why? Well, when I was hungry, You gave me meat. I was thirsty, You gave me drink. I was a stranger and You took me in. Naked and You clothed me. Sick and You visited me. I was in prison, You came unto me. Aren't those all positive things? And what are the answer? When did I ever do any such thing for you? I have only done evil. I have only sinned against you. When? Listen, you did it when he did it. You earned it because he earned it. It's yours because it was prepared for you. It was prepared for you. Because we are righteous only through the merits of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we all sinned in Adam, we were made righteous by our federal head. And so when our sins are sought for, you know what God says? He says this, in those days and at that time, this is final judgment, he will say the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none, the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. God comes in judgment, he opens the book, sees your name, and he says, well, no sin. Look, only righteousness. Come on. Come in. Come in. And we know that this, the merit of this, the root and cause of our acceptance is this. Our names were written down in the book of life before the foundation of the world. At the end of this thing, it says in verse 15, whosoever was not found in the book of life, cast in a lake of fire, which is the second death. You see, I will inherit the kingdom of God because my name is written down. Because Christ suffered for my sins, because Christ rose again for my justification, he prepared a place for me, and he will come again and receive me unto myself. And when I am there, he will draw me in, welcome me in, for Christ's sake. And the last thing we know about this judgment is the wicked shall be damned. They shall be cast into the lake of fire. To all those who are outside of Christ, I have no comforting message for you. I do have this. Today is the day of salvation. Why will you linger when Christ said to you who are thirsty, come and drink freely of the water of life? Come to Christ who has established all the righteousness you need to stand in that day. I pray that God would keep you, would God would move you, because in that day you who are without Christ, you're going to be found wanting. The judge of men does not require your best. He does not require your sincerity. He demands righteousness. And the only one that can give it is Christ. Why will you not come other than you defy the judge of all the earth? You do not believe in the judgment of Christ. That's why you won't come. If you believed in the judgment, you would come. You would come. If you knew anything at all about it, you'd come. And if you continue to trust in your works, your will, your religion, you'll be eternally damned, and that verdict will be final. So what do we know about the judgment? We know this. Christ is coming. We know the dead shall be raised. We know that He will judge all men. And the righteous shall be brought to heaven and the wicked shall be damned. That's what you need to know about judgment. Anything else is some just frivolous. That's what you need to know. I pray that God even would reveal it to your hearts now. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer.